May only His word be spoken, only His word heard. Amen. A new way to look at the commandments from our gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 5. A patient, while recovering in the hospital from a heart attack, was visited by his very zealous pastor. For almost a half an hour, the pastor lectured the man on being thankful for the mercy of God. And then he challenged him to immediately repent of all his sins. Tell the truth, the pastor exhorted. During your heart attack, didn't all your sins flash before your eyes? With a mischievous grin, the man responded, "Don't be ridiculous, Pastor. The attack only lasted 6 hours." Well, I want to get really honest. I want us to get real honest this morning, maybe even painfully so. Are you ready to do that? To be really honest? Okay. Let's start with just a few things. Do you carry some anger around with you? Are you thin-skinned, can't take any criticism? Do you think you're right all the time? Do you refuse to be reconciled to that family member of yours? Guys, are you drawn to pornography? Do you leer at women? Do you imagine having an affair with that coworker of yours? Women, do you love those romance novels? Are you drawn to other men who don't seem to have all those deficiencies that your husband has? Would you love to be swept off your feet by that rich, masculine man? Men and women, did you sabotage your marriage? Did you divorce and claim that it was totally the other person's fault? You did everything right. How about that mouth of yours? Do you shade the truth, make promises that you don't keep, cuss and swear and use the F word? Now, we could keep on going like this for a long time because I've just covered just a few of the commandments. Like I said, I want us to get honest. I admit I'm included on that list I just spoke of. I hate it, but it's true. So I'm going to begin the honesty. The portion of the scripture that we're looking at for this morning, again, is the Sermon on the Mount. And wouldn't you agree with me that Jesus really gives it to us? I would say I have never murdered anyone and that I have never committed adultery, but according to what Jesus has said here, I've done both. The sources of those sins for me comes from the heart, because I have been angry and I have felt toward the opposite sex in a way that I probably shouldn't. Well, I know I should. The way he defines these commandments, well, I'm lost. I cannot keep them. How about you? Oh, you're still going to stay, aren't you? But here's the thing. We can rationalize, can't we? Yeah, we all do it, don't we? You know, I'm a pretty good person, we say to ourselves. I'm not perfect, of course, but I can think of a half dozen other people that compared to them, I am literally a saint. And you know, on those things that I'm not so good, I'll work on them. I'll work on them. But you say things like that, you're just not getting it. You may huff and puff to impress God and thrash around trying to fix yourself and believe that you have that power to actually become good. Good enough, that is, for God. No, that won't do. Your works are too puny, much too puny. You don't measure up. You're dishonest and you're a fraud if you think by your ways and by your actions you can be considered good. Jesus said what he said to drive you to a stark reality about yourself. You'll never be good enough. You just can't do it. And when you acknowledge this, you're ready for the Jesus breakthrough. If you look through the New Testament, you will see that Jesus spent a lot of time with obvious sinners, people like tax collectors and prostitutes. Tax collectors were just plain thieves. Prostitutes, do I have to describe that? No, I think you know, right? And he did something incredible to these people, to these obvious sinners. He unreservedly accepted them, approved of them, and infinitely loved them. And they experienced a breakthrough, and they were changed. Jesus was comfortable around sinners as much as he was uncomfortable with and disturbed by pretenders. Generally speaking, they were the religious people, right? That he was so disturbed about and that he challenged. Still today, there are Christians and Christian churches who act like the way to please God is to be good. We call these people legalists. And we call the church legalistic churches. And they miss the whole idea of the commandments and God's law. Because you see, Christianity is not an ethical code. It is a love affair. Ultimately, the motivation for keeping the commandments is because we love God and because we want to please Him. The Jesus breakthrough happens when we're struck by grace. This incredible love of God that is really hard to define. And you know, I noticed in my ministry, for most people, or for many, let's say, that being struck by grace happens when they commit a sin that they can't get out of, that they can't be at peace with. A number of years ago, there was a Dr. M. Norval Young who went through a period of intense stress. And he chose a very unwise route to deal with that stress. He began to drink. Now, he thought a few sips of alcohol in the evening would relax him. And that's a pretty good idea, generally speaking. But his few sips turned into drinks, which turned into more drinks. He never noticed how quickly this was happening. Dr. Young's situation was made even more serious by the fact that he was a well-respected pastor and chancellor of a Christian institution, Pepperdine University in California. One day, Dr. Young's secret came out in a devastating way. While driving drunk, he struck another car, instantly killing two women. Dr. Young's shame and remorse was overwhelming. He questioned why he hadn't died in the accident. He begged God for forgiveness. He worked hard in every way he knew to make up for this tragic accident, this tragic sin. In the years since the accident, Dr. Young writes that he realized that God loved me in spite of all that happened, in spite of my horrible sins and failures, mistakes, and that he had forgiven me because Christ paid the cost of my sins on the cross. Now, we may not be willing to forgive Dr. Young. We may want to condemn him. But then we may not be recognizing our own grievous sins in the eyes of God, our sins that put him on the cross. I guess what I'm saying, if God can forgive him, who are we not to? This love of Jesus is unimaginably great. You are accepted. You are forgiven. You are made right. Only Jesus could have done this. Only Jesus. So, what does this mean practically for our lives? God's commandments and your inability to keep them are driving you to Jesus, driving you into his arms. Now, are you tracking with me? Does anybody here think they can keep the commandments? I have a counseling session for you on Monday where I'm going to bring out a big light, a spotlight, and I'll put something on your arm and we'll go through a truth session. No, we have an inability to keep the commandments. But he will love you. God will. And you in turn will love him. And the result will be a life that includes a lot of joy. Brennan Manning said it best in one of his books. He writes this, "Hear me well," Jesus says. "I have come to announce the dawn of a new age of an incredible generosity. Allow yourselves to be captivated by joy and wonder and the surpassing greatness of the Father's love for the lost. Set it over and against your own joyless, loveless, thankless, and self-righteous lives." By way of a pale comparison, remember when you fell in love with your spouse? How everything seemed so joyful and so right? Can you think back that far, some of you? The colors seemed brighter. You had more energy. You were breathing in rarefied air. It's wonderful to be in love. Some people mistakenly try to recapture that with other people over and over again. But and what did you want to do? You wanted to please that other person, that man or that woman. You wanted to please them, even if it meant you dislike some of those things, right? "Oh, honey, I'll go to the rugby game with you." Or, "Yes, I'll go and watch one of those Hallmark films." "Don't you love it, honey?" "Yes, I love it. Oh, yeah." Yes. Just one to please them. You know, if anyone asks you, what is the one sure or certain thing in the world? Most people would say what? Flippantly, death and taxes, right? Death and taxes. But they would be wrong. The right answer is the one sure and certain thing in this world is the love of Jesus Christ. It is the constant, and it is the source of joy. Honesty. And I think that's what we want here today, honesty. And to be an authentic Christian can draw others to Christ. Just as phoniness and hypocrisy repels them. We don't have to lie to ourselves and to others. We are a bundle of paradox. I can be unloving, irritable, angry, resentful, and lustful at times. I don't like it. I don't want to be that way. But I repent. I'm continually repenting. And then again and again, there is that love of Jesus, and it draws me. It draws me in. And in turn, it helps me draw other people and love other people. A loving God fosters a loving people. Jesus sought and loved the broken and the lost in this world, and I find myself wanting to do the same. People don't have to be good to associate with me. I think that bears repeating. You don't have to be good to associate with me. And isn't that great for you all? Isn't that good? You know, I can actually be your friend. Because I'm not good either. I'm not good either. It is my faith in Jesus that produces the love that I have for people. Because He loved me. Now we've come full circle, haven't we? Now that Jesus has put me right with the Father, so I want to keep His commandments. I want to please Him more than anyone else in this world. I want to please You, Father. You know, we're constantly being tested on this score. Do you want to please God, or do you want to please yourself and others? From a Max Lucado book comes this example. You're a photographer for an ad agency. Your boss wants to assign you the biggest shoot ever. It's going to mean all kinds of advancement for you. The account, an adult magazine. He knows about your faith. He offers you this job. Say yes, and you polish your reputation. Say yes, and you use your God-given talent, and you tarnish Christ's reputation. What do you choose? If you love God, you'll make the right choice every time. So I conclude with this. A right understanding of the commandments is that they drive you to Jesus, into His arms, where you are knocked over by His love, by His grace. And the commandments are just a way to please a God who has loved you first. In Jesus' name and to His glory, may the commandments always do that for you. Amen.